by Pastor Gordon Ginn at the Light of Life Ministry Studios in Penrith, New South Wales, Australia. We trust that as you listen, you will be encouraged, inspired, and spiritually enriched.
The subject that I share with you today is titled Expectancy. We need, as Christians, to be full of expectancy and anticipation, knowing that God is a faithful and a true God. In Luke 3:15 it says, the people were in expectation. Expectancy plays a very important part in our lives, whether it be for good or whether it is for evil. The dictionary says, to think that something will happen, anticipation. Negative expectancy brings forth negative results. Positive expectancy brings forth positive results. It all depends on whether you have developed during your life a negative or a positive frame of mind. But friend, always remember that Christianity is a religion of change for the better. We can change from negative to positive expectancy. We can change our thought life. The Bible says, bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we can change our thinking. We can change our attitude. We can become different people, and that's what Christianity is all about. Some people always expect the worst to happen. Others expect the best to happen. Others just drift along, accepting whatever life dishes up. Positive or good expectancy is born of deep desire, coupled with faith. It's just wonderful fellowshipping with positive, expectant, vibrant, joyful, happy, interesting people. And if we will see to it that we're that kind of person, people will enjoy being with us and we'll be able to share the gospel and bring many, many to a knowledge of God's love. We must adopt in our lifestyle, in our thinking, a good, positive attitude to life and living. In Psalm, the 62nd chapter and the 5th to the 8th verses, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. As it says in the 5th verse, for my expectation is from him. It is as we pray, as we wait on God, as we spend time with God, that expectancy and faith is birthed in our hearts. Bible says all good gifts come from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. God is the source of our supply. Whatever it may be, God is our source. When we understand the true nature of God, the future is as bright as the promises of God. God wants us to be happy, healthy, fulfilled in life, satisfied, contented, successful. God never ever made a failure. When we come to Jesus and begin to get into line with what he wants of us, then he begins to sow in us the seeds of success, the seeds of joy, the seeds of peace, the seeds of power, the seeds of anointing. He sows seeds in us. We must water those seeds. We must nurture those seeds. We must use our will, our determination, our resolve to change and become what God wants us to be. All of us have needed to change in dramatic ways. In 3 John 2, beloved, that means you. I wish above all things that you may prosper, be in health, just as your soul prospers. Friends, God is a good God. The devil, our adversary, is a bad devil. There's no bad in God. There's no good in the devil. The devil's 100% evil. God's 100% good. God wants us to be well and happy, contented and satisfied. The devil wants us to be sick and unhappy and diseased. Jesus said the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, I have come that you might have life, you might have it more abundantly. Friends, we are at war against demonic power. As Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, The armor of God is available to us through faith, through prayer, through reading the Word of God, through being obedient to the teachings of Jesus Christ. We have the weapons to be able to stand against the powers of darkness and win every time. The reason the Son of God was manifested was to destroy the works of the devil. Know that it's God's will for you to be healthy and happy and prosperous and peaceful, free of fear and grief. This is God's will for your life. So always expect good and great things from God. Also, it is important to understand that God does not always answer our prayers immediately. One reason is God wants us to learn patience. We're not to lose our expectation nor give up. I went back to the census some years ago of the people that I prayed for, and I found about 70% were healed. Half instantly, that's a miracle. The other half over a period of time, that's a healing. Miracles are instantaneous. Healings take time. The Bible says, let patience work a perfect work, so that you might be complete and wanting nothing. We have a part to play. Know that God wants the best for each and every one of us. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and the 11th to the 15th verses, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And speaking of Abram in the 15th verse, so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. If we don't get the answer to our prayer immediately, just keep hanging in, keep trusting God, keep your expectancy. And in Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of patience and endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. After you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Babies get special attention. Babies, spiritual babies, just come to a knowledge of God's love. Often they get the answers to their prayers immediately. And we as Christians will get some prayers instantly answered, but others, God will not give us the answer to our prayer immediately. We've got to keep pushing in and trusting God and holding on and knowing that God is a prayer-answering God, not losing our expectation. Some prayers are answered immediately. Others just have to keep pressing in and trusting God. Christians should be the most expectant, positive people on earth. In 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If you ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him. The Bible tells us what we can legitimately expect from God in response to faith and what God wants of us. It's difficult to ask God for something if we're not sure whether God wants us to have it or not. The Bible tells us what we can expect from God. God wants us to be well and happy and contented and successful and satisfied. Some years ago, I was ministering in Melbourne. There was a lady in a wheelchair. And I got there early. I like sometimes to find out just where a person's faith level is up to. So I got talking to them. And in the process of conversation, I said, now, when God heals you tonight, I'll race you around the block. And instantly she replied, and I'll beat you. I knew she had a good expectation. So after I preached the word, went over to her in the wheelchair and prayed for her. I asked her if she could walk. She said, no. I said, can you stand? Just for a short time. I got her on her feet and she collapsed and I put her in the wheelchair. And anyway, I prayed for her 3 times. And I was just taking some people out for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A whoopee came out of the wheelchair. She threw herself out of the wheelchair. First of all, started dragging herself along. And suddenly she ran and ran and ran. The video camera operator couldn't give up with her. She ran so fast. She came up, come on, Pastor, we're going to have that race. And before I could even think about running, she took off. Now, she'd been 14 years in a wheelchair. You imagine all her muscles had deteriorated. But here she was, her muscles were perfect. Everything was absolutely perfect. And she was running and running and running and running. It was an astounding miracle, but she was full of expectation. expect God to answer our prayers. And that's my first point, is prayer changes things. We must pray positive prayers of faith and expectancy. Mark 11:24, what things do you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. When our eldest son was just a little fellow, about 4, I suppose, we promised to purchase a bicycle for him. And we had a factory at the time, building caravans. And I went up to the factory, and here is Philip, sitting on the carpenter's horse. His legs each side, his legs are going like one thing. I said, Philip, what are you doing? Well, Daddy, he said, I'm riding my new bicycle. He was full of expectancy. He knew he was going to get a bicycle, and so there he was, just riding it on that carpenter's horse. We've got to be like that, full of expectancy, and then begin to act as though we are healed, and knowing that God is a faithful God, like that lady. She believed in the healing power of God, so what did she do? She threw herself out of the wheelchair and got onto the faith, and she was completely healed. There's a tendency among Christians to sit back and take the attitude, it'll work itself out. They do nothing by way of positive action or faith to change the circumstances, and they just drift from crisis to crisis. Entire nations have drifted into dictatorship and anarchy because their Christian communities who had the answers were too complacent or lacking in faith or indifferent or lazy or whatever to do anything about it. They were unwilling to expend their time and their energies and their faith in prayer, reaching out to God and believing God to change the nation. Innocuous, haphazard, shallow prayers don't mean much to God. Our prayers have got to mean something to us if they're going to mean anything to God. God responds to sincere, heartfelt, earnest prayer. In Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, and the 11th through 13th verses, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. God wants a total commitment. So firstly, prayer changes things. The Christian church in this nation can save this nation from anarchy and total disintegration. The breakdown of law and order that's taking place in this nation and in other nations can bring nations to anarchy and total disintegration. Friends, this can happen very quickly. Once the rock sets in and the rock has set in, we can see on every side a breakdown of law and order. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done. Listen to the word of God, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Fairly and squarely upon the shoulders of the church rests the future of our nation. The future of our nation is not dependent upon the politicians or the government or the police service or the educationists or anybody else. The future of our nation is fairly and squarely placed upon the shoulders of the church. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Expectancy. My second point, if we want a miracle, we must expect it to happen. One of the great fallacies, one of the great misconceptions of some people, they think if God wants to do a thing, he'll do it automatically. Some people have said to me, if God wants to heal me, he'll heal me. That's like saying, if God wants to save me, he'll save me. In other words, God will do it all. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches man's responsibility. man is accountable to God for his sins, accountable to God for his thoughts, for his unbelief, for his faith. We have a part to play. God will not save this nation automatically. God will not change this nation around automatically. But we as Christians have a part to play, and if we do our part, we can change the face of the nation. If we want salvation, we must surrender our lives to God and expect Him to save us. We want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues, we must believe God for it. If we want healing, we must believe God's word and appropriate it and expect God to heal us. The Bible from beginning to end is a challenge to man to step out in faith, accept totally the promises of the word of God. Again and again, Jesus said, "Fear not, only believe, all things are possible to him that believes." Number of occasions, Jesus said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." In Mark 9, we have an occasion of a man who brought his demoniac child to the disciples and brought him to Jesus. Nobody up to that time been able to heal him. And he pleaded with Jesus, "Lord, if you can, help us." And Jesus refused to take the responsibility for the healing of the child. He said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." Jesus encouraged him, and the child was healed. If we want a miracle, we must expect it to happen because we're standing upon the promises of God. In Luke 3:15, as the people are in expectation. Luke 12:36, be like men who expect their master. One of the reasons that Jesus was able to perform so many great miracles and healings was because the people developed a breathless expectancy in his presence. I want to convey to you all the breathless expectancy that your faith can develop in Jesus Christ today. The Bible teaches God is a way out of every human predicament. God has made himself available in Jesus Christ to meet the totality of human need. Now when we come to church, if we do not expect a miracle, it is very unlikely to happen. God might desire to perform it, but if we don't expect it, God will not be able to do it. Seven words that changed my life many years ago in James: you receive not because you ask not. I realized I hadn't been asking God. I hadn't been petitioning God. I hadn't been believing God for what I needed. And I'd not been asking Him. But when I began to ask Him, I found He began to answer my prayers. Two towns received Jesus differently. One was situated on the edge of Galilee, Capernaum. The other was 20 to 25 miles away, called Nazareth, where Jesus was brought up as a child. Jesus moved from Nazareth to Capernaum, and there established his home and his headquarters. And these two towns were as different as chalk and cheese, as daylight and dark. You can hardly credit it to be so near geographically, so far apart spiritually. Christ one day went to Nazareth. Instead of being received with open arms, he was received with open hostility. At the end of his sermon, they said, "Yes, he's done great things in other towns. Let's see what he can do here where everybody knows him." And those famous words fell from the lips of Jesus: "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own home." And the Bible describes the work of Jesus there in one brief sentence: he could do no mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. He marveled at their unbelief. Not one single person in that place expected Christ to perform a miracle of any great consequence. And it tied the hands of the Son of God. In the eyes of the world, Christ had a failure. He could do no mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. Unbelief tied the hands of the Son of God. Not only unbelief, but lack of expectancy. Expectancy is an exciting thing, an exhilarating thing. Expectancy blossoms faith and anticipation. There are people who do not have unbelief. They are the first to tell you that Christ can do these things, but they are not expecting God to do these things, and it is almost the same result as unbelief. If you believe that God can do it, but if you're not expecting God to do it, you are virtually getting the same result as unbelief. But in Capernaum, the whole town was breathless with expectancy. He couldn't even eat a meal in that place in peace. He He had to hide from time to time and go into the desert to get a couple of days' rest. He was thrilled with their faith. And once he was in Peter's house, the whole town came to the door. And in the evening, he came out and cast out demons. He healed the sick. The whole town was electrified and on fire with expectancy. And the Bible says he healed them all. Let us be like the lame man at the beautiful gate of the temple. The Bible says he beheld Peter and he expected to receive something from them. He got more than he expected. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. And immediately his ankle bones received strength. He went with them into the temple, jumping and leaping and praising God. Now my third point, receive it by faith firstly. Believe it before you see it. God cannot give us what we ask for until we own it by faith before we receive it as evidence. Now, we own it by faith, by taking hold of the scriptures that give us the authority to believe God for what we want from him. What things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, you'll have them. We must believe it before we see it. Faith produces a thing in the spirit before we see it in the natural realm. When we see it, it's no longer faith. Some years ago, I was ministering in a church in Sydney. And I got a word on eyesight. And two young people came out, a young man, young woman, about 26 years of age. And I said to this young fellow, I said, what can you see? He said, well, I can't see without these very, very thick glasses. So I said to him, I said, I want you to believe it before you see it. Because you're standing on a promise of God's. God wants you to see clearly without those glasses. He wants your sight to be perfect. Because of that, you're standing on a promise. So I want you to believe it before you see it. So I prayed for it. And the Lord said to me, open your eyes. He was rejoicing and rejoicing and rejoicing. Well, then he must be able to see. I opened my eyes. He still had his eyes closed. But he was receiving it by faith. He was believing it before he saw it. When I finished praying, I opened his eyes. I gave him a Bible with very small print. And he read it perfectly without his glasses. In fact, I couldn't stop him. He just kept reading and reading and reading. So then I asked the young lady, I said, now, what can't you see? She said, well, I've got one blind eye. And she said, it's not completely blind, but she said, that big writing up there that I can see with my good eye, she said, if I close my good eye, I can't read it. So I said to her, I said, now, I want you to believe it before you see it. Because you're trusting God, you're trusting the Word of God. So I prayed for it. And the Lord said to me, open your eyes. Open my eyes. And here she was. She had a hand over a good eye, trying to see with what she called her blind eye. Friend, she was wanting to see it before she believed it. Immediately I began to pray. She put a hand over a good eye, wanted to see with a blind eye. You've got to believe it before you see it. That's what faith is. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is. Faith is always now. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow's not here. Faith is always now. The only unit of time God recognizes is now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And by it the elders received a good report. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You're hoping for it, you haven't seen it yet, but the substance of what you're believing God for is your faith. It is the evidence of things not seen. You haven't seen it yet, but the evidence of it is your faith. Faith breaks through into the realm of the supernatural. A word of knowledge with a gift of faith will always produce a miracle. I remember some years ago I was ministering in a Catholic church. And I got a word of knowledge with a gift of faith. I love to get words of knowledge with gifts of faith. I don't very often, but occasionally I do. And I brought this young woman onto the platform, just 19 years of age. And I discovered that when she was just 3 weeks of age, the nurse had dropped on a concrete floor and injured her spine. And when you looked at her, her neck was very thick. And it turned out she couldn't move her head either way. And the upper part of her neck and shoulders were consolidated. And so I prayed for her. And I said to her, I said, move your head. Her mother came out with her. And she moved it. And tears began to stream down her face. I said, is it any better? Oh, yes, she said. So I prayed for her again. And I said, move your head. She moved her head. I said, lift your arms, move your shoulders. And she found that all that consolidation was completely gone, that all the joints in her neck and shoulders were released and lubricated by God, and it was just perfect. I looked at the congregation, a number of people right at the front, tears were streaming down their face. I discovered later that was her home church. These people were aware of the difficulty the mother had had with that little baby from 3 weeks, that injury. And here she was completely healed, and everybody was so rejoicing and so happy to see that precious girl completely and totally healed. As Jesus said, what things shall you desire when you pray? Believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Let's believe God for great things. What are the things that you need? What things shall you desire? What do you desire today? What is the means that you have that you have an authority from God's word to believe God for? Be bold. Reach out to God. Trust God for the answer to your prayers. In Psalm 21:2, thou hast given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Faith turns deep desire into expectancy and anticipation. Some years ago, I read of a man. He had a dog. And he had visitors, and his wife had cooked a piping hot roast, and on a big plate she put it on the middle of the table, and this dog was just laying on the floor with his paws in front of him, just looking around. And the host said to his visitors, he said, watch this. He took that plate with the piping hot roast, put it right in front of the dog on the floor, and the dog looked at it. Then he lifted the plate off the floor, there was a roast, put it back on the table, took a sharp knife, cut off a titbit, and gave it to the dog. The dog ate it. Too many Christians are like that dog, content with the titbits, when God wants us to have the whole joint. We have a good, a gracious, a merciful, a loving, a faithful God who's waiting for us to exercise our faith, waiting for us to pray and believe God for great things, waiting for us to press into God so that we can receive from him what he wants us to have. He sees the suffering of the sick and the diseased, but he responds to faith. He hears the cry of hurting humanity, but he responds to faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Dear friends, everybody has faith. God's given to every person a measure of faith. Use it. Reach out in faith. Jesus was all the time challenging people to believe God for great things. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Firstly, prayer changes things. We must pray positive prayers of expectancy and faith. Secondly, if we want a miracle, we must expect it to happen. Thirdly, faith in God is believing it before you see it. Praying it through, giving God all the glory, and believing God for great things. Dear friends, let's believe God for great things. Let's believe God for the swinging around of this nation from degradation and evil into righteousness and holiness and godliness. Let's pray for our nation, pray for our Prime Minister, pray for our government, pray for the opposition, pray for all the parliamentarians, pray for our councillors, pray for all those in authority, the intellectuals in charge of universities, the church leaders. Let's pray for the nation and believe that God will turn the tide in our nation, change it to God's glory, and to see the power of God moving across this nation to God's glory and changing its faith and bringing it back to God and bringing law and order and love and faith and truth and equity into our media and into every area of our society to the glory of God. Let's believe that, my friends, and we thank you now, Lord Jesus, you will answer our prayers. We expect you to do it, Lord, and we will be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen.
We do pray that you have enjoyed and been benefited by Pastor Gordon's message. Further anointed audio and video tapes of this ministry are available by faxing or phoning your order to 0247-399-409. That's 0247-399-409. Or write to Box 1082, Penrith, New South Wales 27511. If you would like to become one of Gordon's prayer partners or receive his newsletter, please advise your name and address when you phone or fax. It is our prayer that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers.